Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've dealt with it over the years. I mean, I can think back to when I was as a linebacker coach with TB, right? TB missed the entire preseason. We had a plan in place, and we certainly have walkthroughs. We have things that he can do during practice and those type of things when he's available to be able to do those things. You know, but it's hard to simulate game speed. You can't simulate the physicality of the NFL, so certainly going to be an adjustment period there, but we'll have a plan, and it'll be well thought out and be rocking and rolling.
That is Bills defensive coordinator Bobby Babich. Met with the media today. He was recently a guest on the morning show as well. They've been out there whenever the Bills are practicing in the morning. The morning show is there, so that means they won't be there tomorrow because the Bills are practicing in the evening at the stadium. I don't have a mind tomorrow. We'll see. I mean, Sal will be with me from 3 to 5, and then he's got to go get involved in covering the practice. And I think they do like a bit of a sort of practice rehearsal broadcast, too, although I don't think Eric Wood will be there. But Brownie will be in the booth, and Sal will be down on the sidelines, and they'll just do some dry run stuff. That won't be on the air or anything. But anyway, Sal's got responsibilities, so he'll be with me for 2 hours tomorrow. So the morning show will be here instead. I wonder, I have a mind tomorrow to maybe for the first time, it won't be the first time. I think we've already done it, and it definitely will not be the last time, sort of start unpacking stadium memories. Yeah, it seems very cumbersome on the radio to rank events, games, moments. You know, it's hard to compile votes or whatever, but tomorrow it's possible. Like there are probably fans that are going to this practice tomorrow that can't afford or just can't get their hands on game tickets. Like tomorrow could be some fans' last time in the stadium. I know already, right? There's only one preseason game. Those tickets are a little easier to get, of course, than the regular season tickets. So I'm thinking about the stadium for tomorrow. It's a little bit of a preview, but we've got Sal from 3 to 5. Not that he can't partake in that conversation, but Sam Panionovich is our guest at 3:30 tomorrow, and then I'll have Aaron Quinn from Cover 1 with me tomorrow at 5 o'clock. But the stadium is kind of on my radar. But before it gets away from me, what Babich was saying there, it's a good reminder he just gave me about Terrell Bernard from his second year with the team, right? He's a third-round drafted rookie backing up Tremaine Edmonds. Edmonds leaves as a free agent, and Bernard is like, you're going to camp. He's the favorite to replace him, but he missed, like Babich said there, he missed almost all of camp. And I think out here we were like, is this going to be okay? A third round, second year guy, he's missing a lot of practice, missing a lot of camp. And Bernard just like stepped in and has been, I mean, he's not an all pro or anything, but he's certainly been a fine middle linebacker for this team. Someone who I think you really miss when he's not there. And the reason I say it's a good reminder is because similarly, I mean, it's not a big free agent departure that the Bills have suffered here. But, you know, we all know Hyde and Poyer have been gone now, and Hamlin held down a job last year. Taylor Rapp is entrenched as a starter at one of those spots. But Bishop is going into his second year, had an uneven rookie year, largely because of missing a lot of camp and missing a lot of reps, and he's hurt now, and we don't know how seriously, but he missed time today. What do we hear? Is it a quad strain, calf strain? I can't remember which. I think quad. Either way, hopefully minor, but maybe he's someone who follows the Terrell Bernard path to being a starter, even if time is missed. not ideal. Obviously, you'd like to have the guy there participating, but I think it would take a lot for him to not win. I think he'd have to be hurt like to the point where he can't be ready for opening day. I think even if he were to miss a lot of camp, I really wonder. My guess might be that he still would find his way, much like Bernard did, into the opening day lineup back there. It's a second-round pick. The athletic traits are, I think, really positive with Bishop, and I think they're going to want to find their way to him being on the field. Of course, he has to be healthy enough to do it, but as much as, you know, I was pressing Sal there, like, how worried might they be? Because, you know, he did miss time last year. Do you start worrying that a guy is just not going to be available on a regular enough basis for you to trust him as a starter in that role? And I wonder, like, Bernard's a good lesson in that from what Babich just said, because we were in the same position with him 2 years ago. He's not here, not practicing. Geez, I don't know. Should we be worried? What's the depth like beyond him? And opening day comes and he's there. And he's been pretty much a very reliable starting player for the Bills. I mean, he has missed his share of time for sure, but I wonder if Bishop can kind of follow that same path, because I do think, while I think it's fair to say Hamlin, do I want to use the word fine? do we have a trademark on fine and what it really means? It's like, yeah, fine. How was dinner? Fine. I ate it. You know, it didn't taste bad, but, you know, I would have liked maybe 10 other things instead. It was fine. That's sort of the connotation that fine has taken over here. And Hamlin, this has come out bad, but he was fine last year, right? Fine. But fine is not excelling. Fine is not making big plays and being a difference maker. Fine is like, you know, hey, I'm not hurting you. We're getting by. This is fine. I think you want to be better than that at as many positions as you can be. I mean, the reality is you're going to have to live with sort of base level, replacement level play, I think, in pockets of your roster. This is not realistic, I think, to have guys that are, you know, top tier all over the field. I mean,
are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure, like the Eagles might look like the closest to that last year with the way they finished the season. But even them, I'm sure there's guys there that are just sort of, I don't know, placeholder type guys that are just, we don't have a better idea right now kind of thing. And I feel like Bishop provides some opportunity and maybe even some optimism to get back to what Hyde and Poyer. Boy, that's a high bar to set. I'm going to reel that back in a little bit. But I just need some impact. I'm looking for plays, right? Not just, well, better than fine. That's it. Sorry. Do we understand our definition, the show's definition of fine? I think Hamlin's fine. I want to be better than that. I think Bishop represents an opportunity to have that on your team. And I hope that it comes to fruition. This is, you know, I don't want to exaggerate. It's not like I'm invested in the player, but you know how it is. You talk on the radio 20 hours a week or more during the season. It's more, and like they make that pick. I like this player. I remember last summer sort of clamoring for him to replace Hamlin right away. Like, can he get on the field? And Sal was always like, they're going to want a guy that, you know, they trust, that knows the defense. There's a lot that goes into it. And like he said earlier, Sal said earlier, Taron Johnson told him, it took me 3 years to understand everything that's going on here. So I was probably rushing it with Bishop, but that's a player that I loved the pick, and I really want to see it come through for them. So I hope that that can happen, because I think they can be better than they were back there last year. And he's really the change. He's the agent of change back there, because Rapp is there. You know, the backups, I think, are, if it ends up being Hamlin or Forrest or whatever, relatively interchangeable. Bishop, to me, is an opportunity to get back to getting impact from that position, and I'm hoping that that does end up happening. 803-0550 is the phone number if you're out there and want to get involved in the show. Anything that we've talked about today, really anything on the Bills, is fair game. I was focused on receivers to start today, and we can kind of reload that and jumpstart that if you want. Who would you bet on to break through from the Bills' pass catchers? It's not limited to just receivers. Kincaid certainly figures into this. You can suggest Knox if you want. But I posted a poll with some threshold statistical markers, 60 catches, 6 to 10 TDs. These are not explosive numbers. These are not number one receiver numbers. But keep in mind, this team last year had quite a gap from their leading pass catcher, Shakir, with 76, to 44 from Kincaid. So a 60-reception guy is probably your second-leading receiver if Shakir, you know, keeps pace with what he's been doing, or maybe even exceeds what he did last year, which I think is certainly possible. I think last year is a good baseline for him. I don't know that there's a lot more of a ceiling there. Maybe there is, but somebody behind him to supplement this passing game would be really, really nice. The poll included Palmer, the new free agent addition, Coleman, the second-round pick from last year, first pick of the second round going into year two, and Dalton Kincaid now going into year three off of kind of an injury-marred second season. I would understand if you want to pick Kincaid. He did have 73 catches as a rookie. So he's got that, and he had a lot of targets last year. They just were not, they were weirdly unsuccessful targeting him last year, Allen was. So maybe his health played into that. Anyway, we spent some time on that today. Happy to revisit, as always, at 803-0550. Mike is away today, along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog. Thanks for listening to WGR.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.